Who were you when she wanted to have sex with you? Who were you? Can you remember a time when she came after you and she was open and soft and always willing? Well, that was 26 years ago. I remember that well, right?
Did you push record?
Thanks for joining us again on Second Act TV. Happy that Steve Horsman, well, he's here for another segment with me. We were only going to do three, and then we started talking again. Now we're going to do a fourth one, which with the topic, my goodness, that has certainly hit home for me, Steve, and that is dealing with a sexless marriage. And anyway, welcome back. Thank you.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
We'll link to our previous segments. Steve is the founder of Good Guys to Great Men, a platform dedicated to men struggling in their relationships. And, well, a sexless marriage certainly is a struggle. And I've said this on other shows, so I'm not talking out of school here. I was, my marriage, I was 10 years with no sex. Anyway, for us, it didn't work out. For you listening, maybe it can. So, Steve, talk to us about that. How do you advise a man to deal with a sexless marriage?
And to put it in context, because there's many different scenarios, this could be later in a relationship and you've been sleeping separately for 10 years, or this is not about that long-term problem, because that's almost unsolvable long-term.
It was for us, yeah.
but in the first year or two, when this is going on and you're sleeping on the couch, or she's making excuses to sleep in the guest room or with the kids, and there's just no sexual intimacy whatsoever, the first thing men come in to ask us is, how can I get her to have sex? And I'm sorry, can you tell me more about that? I'll say, well, she doesn't want me to see her naked. She changes in the closet. She locks the bathroom door. She won't touch me. When I touch her, she recoils like I had a red hot poker on my hand. And I just want to have sex. And I'm going, well, you're telling me that she sees you as the devil himself and you're wondering why you're not having sex. And, well, if I could just do that, I think everything would be all right. And this gets back to the cliche that if we can only, as men, have sex, then we can connect emotionally. And the women's cliche is that if I can only connect emotionally, I'll finally trust him enough to have sex. And there is some meat to that old cliche. Now, what do we tell men who said, I want sex? First of all, we laugh. I'd say, come on, dude. Did you just hear yourself? Do you hear everything she's doing? And you think if you can go get inside her and have intercourse, all of a sudden your magic wand is going to fix everything, right? And then we get them to laugh a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of stupid, like a little cart before the horse, isn't it? Who were you when she wanted to have sex with you? Who were you? Can you remember a time when she came after you and she was open and soft and always willing? Well, that was 26 years ago. I remember that well, right? But the thing is, we teach this guy, call him Brian, that who you were back then were more confident, you were more available emotionally, you're more attentive, you were more respectful, you had more stuff to do with your life than just be a husband. There was something other about you that she found interesting. And the word other is something that, you know, Esther Perel uses in her Mating in Captivity book. It's that other. And by the time you have a woman getting dressed in the closet, kicking you out of the bathroom, sleeping in the kids' bedroom, by the time you have that, the other you have become is something that's oppressive, scary, intimidating, and dangerous. And so we instead of trying to impress her and trying to get her to have sex with you, let's impress yourself. Let's work on impressing yourself. Let's go all the way back to your 26th birthday when you were a rock star. You were in shape. You dug yourself. You had great friends. You went windsurfing or golfing on weekends. You had a life. You really liked your life, and you liked her, and she liked you because you liked yourself and you liked your life and you liked her. And so this other that you've become isn't really you. This stodgy, you know, robotic husband, father, housekeeper, you know, moneymaker guy, that's what's caused the problem. And so, well, God, I thought, well, we got married, we made vows, we're supposed to have sex. Give me a break. There's no contract for sex. It's not a fringe benefit of marriage. So sex comes when you are that guy. Now, of course, if you do get divorced, the same thing applies. You will have more sex than you've ever dreamed about when you find that lane. Now, can you find that lane while she's sleeping in the kid's bed, dressing in the closet, and kicking you out of the bathroom? You have to. You have to, have to, have to. You have to find that lane to become that other for yourself. Forget about sex. Forget about touching her. Forget about swatting her on the butt in the kitchen. Forget about all the sexy jokes you used to make. Be solid. Be grounded. Be present. Be fun. Be surprising. Be adventurous. Be mysterious. Don't give a fuck about what everybody thinks about you, right? And the F word comes out when we say that to a guy. It's like, yeah!
Yeah.
He starts,
yeah, yeah,
you know, and he gets his mojo back. And so what you've lost is your mojo. The reason you're not having sex is because you have no mojo. Guys with no mojo get no sex, period. And you have to let go of the idea that she's going to divorce you if you start getting your life back. Because you start to think, if we don't have sex soon, she's going to divorce me. No, she'll divorce you more because you don't find your own life. That's what she'll divorce.
Very interesting. I can see where guys connect with you. You're very engaging. Well, and you're real. I like that. Very authentic. Two questions come to mind. And again, I'm thinking of our age group. And for women, of course, well, one thing that's really important, I'm going to ask you about that, is the whole idea of non-sexual touch. Do you talk about that a lot with your men, the importance of it?
All the time. A woman doesn't like touch if she thinks that you always believe it's going to lead to something.
Exactly.
And yeah, you have to remove the energy of expectation or gamesmanship with your touches.
Yeah. We've produced several videos on that because we think it's very important. That makes such a difference in terms of getting sex again. And some men get it. A lot of men get it. And then you get the comments that, well, if we're not going to have sex, it's just so obvious. I just want to comment back and go, well, here, and you're asking, you're wondering why you're not getting it just with this attitude. So that is a big, I just wanted to bring that up. You know, the other thing is the whole dealing with menopause and sexual dysfunction that is so difficult to talk about, that where even the woman doesn't understand herself. There's so many other issues to just be aware of that will or will not, you know, get you back in the sack, so to speak. Do you deal with that?
Yeah, there's a whole module in how to defuse the divorce bomb on that. Exactly. We talk about hormonal changes. We talk about perimenopause, menopause, vaginal dryness. Mm-hmm. We talk about libido changes. We talk about pain during intercourse.
Yes.
We talk, and if a man doesn't have empathy for the fact that every human being on earth has changes in their life and body that makes them feel weird and bad and shameful and ugly and fat, right? If you don't have the capacity for the empathy for that, you're probably never going to have sex with that person again. Mm-hmm. Because they see you as an incredibly judgmental, critical place of pressure. Mm-hmm. And your disappointment and frustration over the fact that they won't open their body to you becomes the biggest source of turnoff.
Yeah.
And this is where we teach empathy. And you have to have some physiological understanding, too, of what's going on.
Right.
And again, who do you become as a man if she's in that stage? This could be an emotionally driven stage, a trauma driven stage, or an actual chemical,
right,
physiological thing, right? And so who do you become as a man when that's happening? And a lot of times we'll just have, if it was cancer, let's say it was uterine cancer and it's painful, and she, doctor said it's 18 months before you're going to have sex again. Do you love her enough to stay with her 18 more months? And every guy, 100% goes, oh shit, of course, I love her. I'll take care of her. I'll bring her breakfast in bed. Right. And what he's doing is waiting for that 18th month where he can finally have sex. Right. But the thing is, mentally, he knows that he has the capacity to empathize, care, and love her in this state of cancer. Right. But if it's something else, like she just doesn't want to, all of a sudden he takes it personally, in the sense of rejection and failure and being emasculated, it triggers the little boy in him to say and do stuff that is the worst possible way to get laid. Right? It's the worst way to do it. So yeah, we bring that to the party to answer your question in a long way.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to throw you off track there, but I felt that that was important.
It's critically important. Yeah. And of course, some women will say there, I just want you to know that I may go the rest of my life and never have sex with another man. You have to get used to that idea. We're 50 and that's pretty much over. I'm done with that. And a guy goes, what do you say to that? Because he's still got the libido of an 18-year-old, right? He's ready to go. And she just announced that he's got 30 more years of no sex to look forward to. And
I would advise the man to leave. That is where I tell women, you know, that there a lot of it has to do with the painful sex that is just not enjoyable anymore, and you know the spark has gone and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I'm the perfect example of that was me. I mean, everything you say, that was me. I'm like classic, you know, Steve Horsman client wives. You know, that you're describing
this. It's because we're all so similar. I mean, that's what's great about this. There's nothing new under the
And I rediscovered sensuality, and we've done lots of videos on that, and hormone replacement, bioidentical hormone replacement, a whole other topic again. But I can firsthand tell you that yes, you can get your sex drive back big time. Best sex in my life after 50. So, you know, and I do. I want people to feel that that's what they want. And you know, I think, I would say you feel the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm unapologetically sexual. I'm still 18 years old in my body, too, and I'm 59. But there's a new place you get to instead of thinking that whatever frequency and length or duration of sex that you want defines you as a man, that defines your level of happiness, well-being, and engagement with the world. There's a new place of being in relationship where you see that the sex is a byproduct of living a good life. Good sex is a byproduct of being a good man, right? Being satisfied sexually, even if it's less than you ever thought you had, is a byproduct of feeling whole in yourself and not thinking that her sexuality is the missing puzzle to your well-being. It never was and can't be.
No, exactly. Have we gotten to what to do? I guess we have. I like my conversations with you because we're starting to come to the end. We have, two, 3 minutes or so. What do you want to leave our viewers with on this segment?
On the sexless marriage, first understand that the anxiety and tension and fear and resentment and anger that come up in a man's body when he isn't getting the sex he thinks he deserves or wants, it's a boyish energy. It's an immature and insecure energy, and there's something behind it. There's a fear and there's a pain behind it that if you can't get a hold of, it doesn't matter what woman you're with for the rest of your life, you're going to feel like crap about sex. So the first thing you have to do is slow down, let her have her space, and then get with a group of men who are figuring this stuff out and realize that you have to get to the bottom of your boyish shame and that insecurity that causes this tension and anxiety in your body. And once you get a hold of that, sex will take care of itself. I promise. It may not be with her. I can't promise with her, but I know. Sex will take care of itself.
No, I would agree. It's funny, it doesn't tip me again. I got a comment just the other day on one of our menopause videos, and we titled it as Menopause Ruining Your Relationship. And there was, of course, and, you know, you get lots of men complaining about not having sex, but there was one man, well, what about, it's the opposite. She wants more sex, and I'm just too tired. What am I going to do? I was like, are you kidding me? You know,
that's very common.
Yeah, it does go both ways, but I think it's largely skewed the other way, and I recognize that. So,
well, society forgives the menopausal woman more than they'll forgive a sexless man.
Yeah,
society, they have more empathy for her than they do for him.
They absolutely.
All he has to do is take a pill, and we're as emotional as anybody else. That's what I want every man to know, that we do not avoid the fact that we're emotional, articulate, feeling, deep thinking people. And we've been trained most of our life to not let you see it. Doesn't mean it's not there.
I love that. That is so true. That is so true. Well, Steve, again, thank you so much. I look forward to more segments in the future. We will link to all of your information, to your course, to your website. And I look forward to talking with you again on Second Act TV.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe to our channel. The button is right over here. Just click on through to YouTube. And when you see the little bell right next to the subscribe button, hit that too. We'll notify you every time we launch a new video. See you next time.